Good morning, everybody. Before we begin, I talked to Mike Elledge this week, and they're doing fine, but they wanted us to remember Nicole's son, Halen, who has been in the hospital quite a bit. I think he went home Friday or Saturday, but he's been having all kinds of health issues back there, and it's really good that they're back there so she can be there with him. But they would ask for us to pray with them, and so you might see his name on the prayer list coming up. But keep him in your prayers. So this morning, I want to talk about how we walk in the Lord. How we walk in the Lord. And Ephesians chapter 4, which Greg said, we are to walk worthy of the calling with which he called us in Christ Jesus. And if you have your Bibles, please open them to Ephesians chapter 4, because we're going to read the text this morning as we go through this lesson. We'll pretty much camp right there. All the other scriptures I'll provide for you. You know, many people have published books and have made a lot of money on how-to books. And probably all of us have read one or two of them in our lifetime. I've read the one down in the lower left-hand corner, How to Win Friends, Influence People. And right now I've got my grandkids reading the second one from the bottom on the right, How to Babysit a Grandpa. So they'll be ready to go when I get there, which is not in the distant future, I don't think. But anyway, we've all looked at how-to books. I have a great book at home, a Reader's Digest put out this book on how to fix household appliances. And I've worn that thing out, and it was really good. And so it's like a reference book that I go to, how to do all these things. And it has led to a huge DIY industry, bottom book, DIY, do it yourself. And there's all kinds of do-it-yourself programs on television. This has been a huge industry, and it all started with how to do these things. But when we are walking in Christ, make no mistake about it. We cannot do this by ourselves. There's no way we can do this by ourselves. Walk worthy in Christ Jesus. We need help. And God has provided us that help on how to walk in Christ in the pages of the Bible. But look at this. Look at your Bible. Look at it. It's such a big collection of letters and books. Where can I find in it, in a hurry, because all of us are in a hurry, you know, when I need a quick recharge, when I need a quick recall to remind me how I should walk in Christ? Where can I go? Well, it's found in the New Testament, and it's found in the letter to the Ephesian brethren in the New Testament. This is a beautiful letter we're going to look at. It's all about Christ and his bride, the church. It is about us. He even says that in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church. So this is a book about the church. One of the many blessings we have in Christ is his word revealed to us. Help from God himself to keep us moving in the right direction to remain faithful in Christ. In it, Paul admonishes the Ephesians and us through inspiration of God. So God is speaking through Paul, writing this to our Ephesian brethren many years ago and writing it to us today. God is speaking directly through Paul, who has written it down in a letter, and they've copied the letter. It's made our way to us today. God is speaking to us on how to walk in Christ Jesus. And how we are to walk in Christ Jesus is walk worthy of the calling which we are called. But how do we do that? How do we do that? First off, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, we are to walk in unity. We are to walk in unity. Let's read verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all longsuffering and gentleness, lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we're going to look at, just kind of refer to the rest of this in Ephesians chapter 4 in just a moment. But our attitude and our walk in Christ is what he's talking about in verses 2 and 3. Notice what he says. We are to walk with all lowliness and gentleness. What does that mean? We are to walk humbly with our God. The Old Testament tells us that too. We are to walk humbly in God, in Christ Jesus, with lowliness and gentleness. We are to have walk in long-suffering. This is our attitude, long-suffering. Long-suffering, long-tempered, putting up with a lot of stuff. Long-tempered, long-suffering. I know many of you have suffered long with me. And I have suffered long with you. And you know what? That's the way God intended for it to be. We overlook things sometimes. We're long-tempered. And then when we talk to each other about issues, we do it with lowliness and gentleness. And then, he says, bearing with one another in love. You bear with me, I bear with you, we bear with each other, and we do it because of love. The love we have for each other, which is based in Christ Jesus. And here it is, striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are striving here, not with one another, hopefully, but we are striving together to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do we do that? By those things mentioned above there. And then the basis for such unity. What is the foundation? What do we base that upon? Verses 4 through 6. We base that upon one body. The fact that there is one body. Body. The church. The body is the church. It is also the kingdom. He says that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. The church and the body are one. And he is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. This book of Ephesians is all about the church, you see? It's all about us. There is one body. Not many bodies, but one body. One church which the Lord saves. And that church belongs to Jesus Christ. He gave himself on the cross. He shed his own blood for it, which Tim mentioned this morning in communion. There is one Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. There is one Spirit of God in whom, those of us who are in Christ this morning, in whom dwells in us. The Spirit dwells in us, that one Spirit of God. And he directs us through the Word of God to do all these things. There is one hope. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. Tim mentioned it again this morning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In him we have our hope. We put our hope in him. That's one hope. One hope of our calling. We've been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ to that one hope. And we've put all our eggs in one basket. And that one basket is Jesus Christ. And it's not misplaced hope. Because as Tim read this morning, sorry Tim, you picked a good passage there. If you read on down, our hope is in him because he resurrected from the grave. He took his life back and became the first fruits of those who were being saved. He is the first one. There have been other people who Jesus healed and Old Testament prophets healed and brought back to life again, but they're going to die again. Jesus is the only one who picked his own life back up, because God gave him that power, and he came out of that grave never to die again. And those of us who are in Christ put our hope that he's going to do the same with us. He's going to raise us from the grave in the resurrection to a new life, an eternal life in Jesus Christ. That is our hope. There's no greater hope than that. And that's what we base that unity on. There is one Lord, and that one Lord is Jesus Christ. Nobody else gave themselves on the cross for me. Nobody else shed their blood for me. Nobody else was that perfect sacrifice for my sin. It's that one Lord, Jesus Christ. There is one faith. The one faith. There's not many faiths. You hear people say this all the time. What faith do you belong to? No, there's one faith. That one faith that saves. And it's an obedient faith that follows God's will and does His will. I'm going to maybe preach on that next Sunday, because we had a great discussion about that in class this morning. But anyway, there's one faith that saves, and that faith is placed in one Lord who gives us one hope, who, through obedience to Him, the Spirit dwells in us, and we become the body of Christ. One baptism that washes away our sins. We had a great discussion in Bible class this morning about different baptisms. And this one baptism, he says there's only one baptism. Wait a minute, Jim, Hebrews talks about baptisms. Yes. Yes, but Don did an excellent job showing the other baptism, what that was all about. There is one baptism that saves, and that baptism is in Christ Jesus, into Christ. It's not into a church, it's into Christ. There are many denominations who teach, if you want to be part of this church, you've got to be baptized into the church. Some of our own brethren say that, and I don't think they mean what they're saying. They just say it in a way that could be better. We're not baptized into the church. We're baptized into Christ. We're baptized and added to His body, which is the church. But I'm not baptized into this church of Christ right here, 2050. I'm baptized into Christ Jesus, my Lord. And no matter what church of Christ I go through that is following the scriptures, I'm a member of that body because I'm in Christ Jesus. I was baptized into Christ. Not a physical church. The denominational world will teach you you're baptized into a church. That's not true. You're baptized into Christ. And then finally, one God and Father. There is one God. I don't care what anybody else says about how many gods there are in the world. There is not. There is one God, the creator of all mankind, and He is our Father. That's our basis for such unity. That is the foundation. Therefore, walk worthy of our calling. Our Christian life includes these things: treating our brethren like God would have us to, holding fast the doctrine of Christ, the seven ones we just talked about, and in doing this, we maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, if you go back to your text there, verse 7 down through verse 16, another thing about walking worthy of the Lord is everybody doing their part. Everybody contributing and using the talents God has given us. And that brings us to chapter 4, verse 17, which he says, put on the new man. How do you put on the new man? In dying to yourself and being baptized into Christ. And then, do not grieve the Holy Spirit and do those things which are not godlike, which God would not be pleased with. He picks up this on walking worthy in chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So the second thing on how to walk worthy in Christ is to walk in love. We walk as imitators of God, and God is love, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. God loved us in giving us Jesus, and we return our love for Him by striving to be imitators of His Son, Jesus Christ, who is an exact representation of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 1. How do we express our love for God, verses 3 through 7? Number one, by living or walking holy lives to the glory of God. We walk in love. The same love God had for us, we walk in that same kind of love and we have it for one another. You know, we can't walk in love and live like the world. The world says we can, but we can't. We can't straddle the fence. No place in the New Testament does it say we have one foot in and one foot out of the Lord. We can't do that. That's painful. I remember one time when I was a kid trying to climb over a fence, and I straddled the fence, and I slid all the way down. For some reason, I didn't have a shirt on. I was a little boy. And I slid all the way down that fence because I tried to straddle the fence, and I got splinters all the way up and down. And I remember that night, my mom put me in a bathtub to soften those splinters out. You can't straddle the fence. I learned that early on. You can't do that, especially when it comes to living for God and walking in Him. The world will tell you that. As long as you go to church on Sunday and put your time in, and you can live like you want the rest of the week. There's one big denomination that teaches that. In fact, you can go early on Saturday and ask for forgiveness of the sins you're going to commit on Sunday. That makes no sense to me. It makes no sense, but that's what the world teaches. Don't let people deceive you, the Lord says through Paul, into thinking you can live like this world and still walk with God. You can't do it. You either walk with God or walking with the world. He says, do not be partakers with them or even this kind of thinking. Don't even think this way. Don't let anybody deceive you. Oh, go put your time in at church, you know, and then, you know, I'm going to party, you know, later on. We can't do that. That's what the world says. Yeah, I can. It's okay. No, you can't. And don't even think you can, is what this text says. Don't be partakers of them. Instead, walk worthy of the love God has for you by returning His love in walking in love, in obedient faith, walking in love. Be a reflection of God. And that brings us to chapter 5, verse 8 through 14, walking in the light. For you were once darkness, but now, I love that, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever might makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, wake up, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Man, what a great passage. We all used to walk in darkness, in sin. All of us. Every single one of us here. Every single one of us. Every single one of us, above the age of accountability, have walked in sin. But now, we are light in the Lord. We are different. Don't you love that? But now. In Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about that. You're subject to the prince of darkness and all that. But God, who is rich in mercy. I love that. But now, God has changed all that because we are obedient to Him. Therefore, walk by walking as children of light. Walk by walking as children of the light. You know, my children bear my traits. If you look at Jonathan, many of you know Jonathan, you'll see me in Jonathan. And same with Mary, you know, and Lisa and Stacy. You'll see us, our traits in them. If we are born of God through Jesus Christ, we should bear a likeness to the Lord. We should reflect His characteristics in our life. Therefore, walk by walking as children of the light. In 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, and we are children of the light, there shouldn't be any darkness in us at all. We are in the light. Reflections of the light of God. How do we walk in the light? By producing fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the light. And he mentions some right there in the text. And if you have noticed the bulletin article this morning, David, is a great bulletin article on the fruit of the Spirit. And then he lists more of this fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's not an exhaustive list. The characteristics of God go on and on and on. All good things, all great things. So how do we walk? We walk by producing fruit of the Spirit. This is what comes from God. If we walk with God, this is what we produce. And secondly, by not fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness. God is not there. He's not in darkness. He's in the light. And darkness, if you want to go back and look at that passage in Galatians again, it mentions the works of darkness. And that's not an exhaustive list either. And he's mentioned, we've read some already, he mentioned right here in this passage 5, 1 through 7, some works of darkness. God is not there, and we should not be walking there because God is not there. Instead, we need to be exposing those things. How do we do that practically? We expose those things by rebuking those things using the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We use God's word to rebuke, to correct, to show instruction in righteousness. And so if we see our brother or we ourselves are walking in doing fruits walking in darkness, we can be rebuked by God's word to correct us. Or if our brother or sister needs rebuking, admonishing, we can go to them with God's word and say, brother, sister, you shouldn't be doing this. God says right here, you shouldn't be doing these works of darkness. But instead, produce light, the spirit of light. That's what we need to be doing. Instead of walking in them, don't have any part in them, but rebuke them, expose them. Show people what's bad about them. Therefore, he says, wake up. Wake up. Christ will give you light. If you want the light of the world, Christ will give it to you, because if you're baptized into Christ and obedient to Christ and his word and you're living by it, guess what you're going to produce? Light. And Christ is going to give you that light because you're getting it from the word of God. Jesus is the light, John chapter 8 and verse 12. And then lastly this morning, we walk worthy of our calling by walking in wisdom. Notice, we talked about this morning too in class, verse 15 through 21. See then that you walk circumspectly. Wow, that's a big word. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's where we're going. The last thing is we need to walk in wisdom. He says, walk carefully, not carelessly or foolishly. I love that word circumspectly. I didn't know what that meant. And so I looked it up many years ago, and there was a definition. But I looked it up in another book, and some guy gave a definition. He says, walk like a cat walks on a fence. That's what the definition was he used. Have you ever seen a cat walk on a fence? They have a commercial on TV I saw this morning. Some lady's carrying two steaks on either hand. You see that one? She walked across the street, only she's on a tightrope. And man, she's walking circumspectly. She's walking carefully. That's how we are to walk. And how do we do that? By walking in wisdom. Where does the wisdom come from? God's word, from Jesus Christ. He says, don't waste your time, but use your time wisely by understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do you do that? By walking circumspectly through this world carefully, following God's word to a T. One step here and you're gone. It's very careful. We have to walk carefully, not foolishly, not haphazardly, not willy-nilly, but circumspectly, carefully. He says, don't walk your Christian life filled with wine, drunk on life, filled with the wisdom of the world, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. I like that too. We had a visitor one time who came down here. He was drunk. Came right down here. He said, I'm filled with the Spirit. He was talking to me. And I said, well, you're filled with spirits, but not the Holy Spirit. And we walked him on out and, you know, took care of him. But anyway, he got the two mixed up. Don't be filled with wine. Don't be filled with the wisdom of the world. Be filled with the wisdom of God as we walk, and we gain that through Jesus Christ. And if we do that, verses 19 and 20, we are going to be speaking with our lips of spiritual things, encouraging one another with God's word. And then we read this morning from Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read that real quick because it was great. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We always use this passage for the way we do our singing here. But it's more than that. It's how we talk to each other outside. It's when we greet each other. Hey, brother, are you walking with the Lord today? How's your faith? You know, and all this. Encouraging one another. Speaking the oracles of God. In 1 Peter 4, 1, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles or the words of God, encouraging one another. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, reminding us of that. And then he also says, giving thanks to the Father for all things, giving God the glory for all that he has done for us. Thank you, God. Thank you for blessing us. That's walking worthy in Christ Jesus. And then finally, now we come full circle, verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear out of reverence for God. This is the bottom line where it is really, this is where we really begin. By reverencing God. Why do we do all these? Because we love God and we reverence His Word. If we love God and if we fear Him, fear him out of fear and out of, oh God, thank you, thank you. We're going to act like this. And we're going to walk like he wants us to walk. When we do all these things out of reverence for God, it will result in us walking worthy, in a worthy manner in Christ Jesus. And therefore, keeping the peace and so forth. You see how it just goes circle, circle, circle. So in conclusion, you see how this all fits together perfectly? Fits together perfectly. No man could ever have written this. God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom, God's word. Fits together perfectly. Well, Jim, you went too fast. Let's go over it again. Study it, meditate on it this week. How do I walk worthy in Christ? How do you walk worthy in Christ? The answer should be found in Ephesians 4 and 5. Walk in unity. Walk in love. Walk in the light, and walk in wisdom. Does this describe my walk in Christ? Does this describe your walk in Christ? This morning, I hope you take this message with you and think about it all week. Four things right there for Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, 4 and 5. And if you forget it, Ephesians 4 and 5, go back and read it again. And then ask yourself, does this look like my life? Am I walking this way? And if not, make the necessary changes. And walk worthy in Christ Jesus, striving to do His will. This morning, if you're here and you're a Christian, I hope you're encouraged by these words and you'll take them with you and meditate on them this week. If you're not a Christian and you know what you need to do, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that belief is going to motivate you to do what he says. And what Jesus says is to repent of your sins. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. You're going to change your life. You're going to confess that he is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. You're going to deny yourself, Matthew 16, verse 24, and follow him, denying yourself and doing his will. You're going to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Have all your past sins taken away. Raised up in newness of life. If you're here this morning, you haven't become a Christian. What are you waiting for? Ananias said to Saul, what are you waiting for? arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. It'll be the greatest day of your life. And we'll give you a piece of paper to remind you of it, and we'll laminate it for you so it doesn't rot. It'll be the greatest day of your life. It'll be the most important thing you've ever done in this life is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Acts 22:16. If you're here this morning, you have any need at all, even if you need the prayers of the church for strength, we invite you to come right now while we stand and sing.